following program has adult language and potential spoilers. Listener be advised.
Welcome back to the Marvel Superheroes Podcast. I'm your moderator, Diablo Frank, and I'll soon be joined by my co-hosts and best friends, Mr. Fixit and Illegal Machine. This particular recording session was one of our first, going back to June, so when we refer to Guardians of the Galaxy in the future tense, you know what's going on. Also, if you haven't listened to our Drax the Destroyer podcast, I would recommend going back and listening to that first. It'll help this one make a little bit more sense.
Destructive force punctures through the edge of our universe, barreling into the moon-sized kiln prisons there. The moment this annihilation wave tore into our universe is universally marked as Annihilation Day. After ripping through the ancient gulags, Annihilus, the Armada's undisputed ruler, sets his sights on Xandar, the homeworld of the intergalactic peacekeeping force known as the Nova Corps. On Xandar, the entire Corps assembles for a briefing on the kiln destruction and get their marching orders. During the debriefing, the forces called the Annihilation Wave struck Xandar. The ensuing battle was monumental, disastrous, vicious, and totally consuming.
Wait, what are we looking at now?
We're looking at Annihilation Prologue.
Oh, okay, I did read this. Sorry.
And I kind of skimmed it, so...
Well, and you've read in the past. This is another instance after what we were just talking about with Drax, where first page is Thanos dressed in the way Thanos isn't normally dressed, with the fairy thing that I mentioned had been hanging out with Lunatic. Not that anybody read that, those last few issues of Marvel Comics Presents where he appeared. And then there's some black ethereal being with them, and there's the girl who's clearly identified as Death.
Yeah. So she's definitely Death.
Which I find very troubling because he was in love with Death in a very man-woman kind of love. And here all of a sudden, Death is a little girl.
Very daughtery.
So there was a Thanos ongoing series that ran, what was it, about 10 issues, Fix?
Yeah. There's miniseries, yeah. Which...
Well, it was supposed to be an ongoing series, but it was truncated because it got canceled.
It was Giffen was writing it too, wasn't it?
Well, what happened is Jim Starlin started it. It was a spin-off from one of the Endless Infinity Gauntlet sequels. He got about 6 issues in, and then he quit because he had issues with Marvel, and he never elaborated very much on it. He just did a drawing of like a tombstone with Thanos' name on it or something like that, and then he gave best wishes to Keith Giffen, who was going to take the book over for him. And Giffen and Ron Lim, if I remember correctly, they did the last. What, 5? I remember liking the Giffen run. I like that stuff. I thought it was actually pretty good. But the problem is you and me and a few thousand other people read that book. You need to have read that book to even know what the hell's going on here.
Kind of, yeah.
And I read the book, I read it 10 plus years ago. I don't remember enough of it to even know the full details of what the hell's going on here. Like, I don't remember where the lunatic fairy came from. I don't know what the hell.
Yeah, that's, I was the fairy thing, I had no clue. I just rolled with
that's it. From the series.
Was it? Okay,
yeah,
I just rolled with it.
I think she was like an inmate in the series or something like that, yeah.
He's obviously got this fairy, super annoying talking
so
fairy,
annoying,
which
yeah.
again...
What's his just, Tinkerbell?
Right. At first I was like, what the hell is Wasp doing here? I'm like, oh, that ain't Wasp. And it was sort of what his cackling little alien to his job of the hut or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that got annoying.
And then you turn quickly to the second page, and there's a series of spheres in outer space, these giant bases. And apparently they're drawing energy from this area called the Crunch. And they're also prisons, which is kind of a dense concept to begin with. And again, it's from the Thanos series that nobody read.
Yeah.
And it's not... The very basic premise that I just said is there, but they don't elaborate on that. And you don't know who any of these characters are that are in the prison that fill the first half dozen or so pages.
Nope.
I believe, and I'm saying, I'm not even sure, I think that the blonde guy, and I could be wrong, I think he might be Peter Quill. I think he might be Star-Lord. But I don't know for sure. He was in
that
prison.
There were several humans in that prison, if I remember
correctly. Yeah, but Peter Quill was in the prison in those last issues of Thanos, though, right?
I can't remember.
I believe Star-Lord was, because wasn't that where they introduced the mask that has become iconic for that character in the last decade?
No, I think that was more in the new run. I think that's more in the new run.
I'll have to check.
That last run.
We're going to come back to Thanos at a later date, I'm sure. So this base slash prison slash cosmic energy source is overrun with these insect-looking things that blow them all up. And because this is a major power source throughout the galaxy, the first people to respond to it is the Nova Corps. Mm-hmm. And you were talking about the Nova Corps a few minutes ago.
Yeah, they're basically like the Green Lantern Corps, just a little cooler. Because Green Lantern Corps is all about their rings and their willpower and stuff. These are just like street cops. You can definitely get a
sort
feel.
Sort of a Judge Dredd mixed with Green Lantern.
Yeah, I mean, they have their different ranks, and I mean, they're different aliens. I mean, when I was first reading it, it was kind of a cool concept. I don't think they'd ever touched base like that before with Nova.
Well, I mean, because none of us have ever read the 70s Nova series, right?
He bounced off of walls. I thought that's about it.
No, you're thinking of Speedball.
No, Nova, I think, bounced off of shit too. He was like, yeah, because he does that at one point in this book where they're getting their asses kicked, and all of a sudden he's like, look, if you fly really hard and hit things, they break. And then they all start doing it like it's a cool trick.
What little I know about Nova was that he, like you said, was a knockoff of Green Lantern. If Green Lantern's core are the knights of the universe, these guys are the beat cops, the Hill Street Blues. They fly around, they kind of have energy powers. Probably ill-defined. He had a series that ran about a couple of dozen issues in the 70s, and then he popped up a lot in the 90s because he was a member of the New Warriors.
But was the Corps always around, or was this something?
I believe the Corps was back in the 70s, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Yeah, I
was completely unfamiliar with the Nova Corps until we started reading this. I mean,
I think it's one of those things, just like the Green Lantern Corps, where they've been destroyed a few times. Yeah. So I'm not confident of that. Okay. It was a Green Lantern ripoff with Peter Parker as the Green Lantern instead of the 60s fighter jock Hal Jordan type guy. When you look at the character today, especially with the long gap, and you think about him being in the New Warriors, he is Kyle Rayner for the Marvel Universe, to put that in DC terms. He's the young, common man kind of character, a regular guy who happens to have these cosmic powers, and is still treated as a rookie, even though in the story they say he's been a Nova for 5 years.
All right, side note, the Nova Corps made their first appearance in Fantastic Four 204.
When was that?
1979.
Wow. Okay. Hey.
First full appearance in issue 205.
Shout out to the Nova Corps.
So I guess
their friends.
Did the book start in 80 then, I guess? Point being is none of us ever read it, so yeah. The hell with that. And then you turn a few more pages.
And Drax is giant again, which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, and that's another thing, too, is this book was announced, I thought, fairly well in advance. And it was announced as a 48-page book in the Drax miniseries, and it was announced to be drawn by Scott Collins. And so I open the book, and the first thing you see is that half the book is drawn by Ariel Olivetti. And it's not very similar styles. You know, it's kind of jarring to see the change in art style.
Yeah.
But the Novas are aware that this energy source has been destroyed. They're aware of the incredible strain that the universe is under because it no longer has that energy source. And they're going to send the Nova Corps to investigate. Meanwhile, Drax, because of the changes that he had gone through on planet Earth, is no longer recognizable by his DNA by the Nova Corps, who had apparently come to pick him up from Earth. So him and the annoying Cassie girl are released with a guard, and they're going to be sent on their way, even though they know that it's still Drax, and they know that he's guilty of being involved in a lot of deaths because he's a very intense guy. And again, he's huge because Scott Collins is drawing him.
Yep. So I will say that I thought that the actual shit going down with the Nova Corps scene and these ominous alien force that's destroying everything, I thought it was all really pretty damn cool, especially coming off of that horrible
Drax book.
I'm like, wow, there is more shit going down in the first 15 pages of this than I got in the entire 4 issues of Drax miniseries combined.
And what's going is it's the same damn writer. He's just writing, recognizing that he's on an event book where he might actually have an audience and maybe, you know, help to redeem his name after doing so many shitty books.
Yeah, and then I thought the way that the artist, everything, and I think it was intentional. It wasn't that it just sort of happened to work out this way, but there's just so much chaos going all around the Nova Corps, and they're just getting just taken out left and right that you're like, oh my God, how the hell is anybody going to make their way out of this? And basically, that's kind of what happens. Nobody makes their way out of it except for Nova.
And that's something we haven't really touched on yet. The Nova Corps go to address this issue, and there's another incident that draws the Nova Corps to investigate, and it turns out to be a trap that's been laid by these aggressors, these insectoid aggressors. They blow up the Nova Corps' base, throw the base at their equivalent of Oa, their home planet, and they wipe out the entire Nova Corps. One character who, I don't know if she was a new character or if she was pre-existing, but she became a romantic interest of Richard Rider, the main human Nova in the book. book, and they're going to go on a daredevil escape where they're flying through the debris of the ship. And she's like, if we get through this, I'm going to, you know, mate with you for life. And then almost immediately, her head is taken right the fuck off by a hunk of debris.
A hunk of debris blows her head off as she says, I'm going to mate with you for life. Oh, like, we're going to make it through this. This is going to be awesome. And then her head literally explodes in the next panel, which literally made me laugh out loud in a good way. And then you follow up with this awesome two-page spread of just things blowing up, which was pretty cool too. Like I said, it was a nice way to start this whole... I was like, oh, actually, this may be a legit little run of stuff to read.
It is the prologue of the books.
Yeah, it's the prologue. So I'm like, okay, so if the prologue's going to be like this, maybe this might actually be worth reading more of. Whereas if I had jumped... Again, Drax. We're going to go back to how bad Drax was. This helped me forget all the bad Drax stuff. But it was just funny to me that it seemed like this issue could have been stretched into four, whereas Drax should have been the one-shot prelude.
I could have spent a little bit more time with the Nova Corps getting more emotionally involved with those characters, but the fact that they were able to get me invested in these characters so quickly, as opposed to the four fucking issues of Drax that I ended hating everybody, even the guy I went in there interested in.
Yep.
And even... Like, they only have so many pages in this book, those two characters, Drax and Cassie, and they're handled better in these pages than they were in the entire miniseries.
Yeah.
Cassie's definitely a much more interesting character, just because at least she has an interplay with Drax that was lacking in the miniseries. So Nova is the sole survivor of this incident. He's not in very good shape. He has no way of contacting anybody. He doesn't have anybody else to contact, because there is no Nova Corps to back him up, and he's in these ruins, injured and crushed by survivor's guilt. And then they go from there to a scene with Ronan the Accuser. And that's one of those guys, it's funny, because you can read, especially like when we were coming up, the X-Men were ruling at Marvel. As long as you knew what was going on with the X-Men, you didn't really need to know about the greater Marvel universe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mac, you were involved in the Avengers.
Yes.
But did they ever, because I know they had the Kree-Skrull War.
I don't remember enough of the Kree-Skrull War, which I should go back and read, because it's fairly well regarded, the Kree-Skrull War. That's not one of those things people go, oh, Kree-Skrull War. But, you know, I know of Ronan. I always thought he was an awesome looking character. I thought, like, super freaking cool.
But he always appeared in Fantastic Four, though.
The dope ass hammer.
Is that where he's from?
Yeah. Pretty much. Every time I've ever seen him, he was always fighting the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, so outside of him having a dope-ass costume and that cool hammer and being a Kree dude.
And Ronan the Accuser.
And being Ronan the Accuser, which is pretty badass. He's, again, as we're going to find with a lot of these characters, I could have taken or leave him. But yeah, his little portion here was interesting.
Yeah, basically, there was a large-scale death among the Skrulls. And the Skrull are the shape-shifting race that are the ongoing enemies of the Kree, lasting millennia. And so a bunch of these Skrulls were murdered, but they were murdered in a way that wasn't approved by the Kree government. So Ronan the Accuser judges the people who were involved in the genocide, is planning on carrying out their sentence, but he himself is arrested by Kree authorities. You are to be remanded to Imperial Tribunal, there to stand trial for crimes of sedition against the Kree Empire. Long may it prosper. So he agrees to give up his hammer so long as they would continue to adjudicate his criminals, and then he went in to be arrested.
And does he say a little blurb at the end saying, I was expecting this, or something like
that? This comes as no surprise.
This comes as no surprise.
Next page is Silver Surfer, who just is flying around, and he realizes there's a disturbance in the Force.
Classic Silver Surfer, folks. That's it, right?
Disturbance in the Force.
There is apparently one Skrull running around amongst the Kree for reasons that are not explained, and because you can turn invisible, which Skrulls can't normally do, which I had to remind myself because I'm not the best guy with Marvel lore, he must be the Super Skrull, who is a member of this shape-shifting race that managed to get the powers of the entire Fantastic Four into his body, which means invisibility, I guess a sort of invisible construct creation, not really telekinesis.
He's boringness.
Yeah, great strength. He can create a rocky exterior like the Thing. He's elastic, and he can turn into flames and project flames.
Well,
he
basically has a Fantastic Four powers.
But in case, I know everybody knows who the Fantastic Four is, but just to elaborate on that. So he's roaming around the Kree. Then these insectoid creatures are running around causing more havoc, and we're introduced to a very gross female figure who's apparently like the concubine of the big bad who's revealed on the last page to be Annihilus, who is a villain from the Fantastic Four universe. He is from the Negative Zone, which is apparently like, again, I have to speak in DC terms since I'm more of a DC guy, it's like the antimatter universe. It's a place where we're not supposed to go, and things from that universe aren't supposed to come and visit us when it causes problems. And at one point, apparently, Reed Richards went into the Negative Zone and got Annihilus' attention.
Classic Reed Richards.
He's a insect guy. That's really... He's one of those guys that I'm familiar with because he pops up in Marvel
Except
Universe
robot
stuff.
Robot-looking dude.
And I don't know what the hell he does.
Yeah.
Except now, apparently, he comes out of this big energy sphere and blows crap up and is like the guys from Starship Troopers, but with intelligence.
That's about it. That's
well, the thing is, if you read Annihilus, they kind of, without giving stuff away, they really build on him. Like, this is kind of a building.
But were you familiar with him at all before? Beyond, like, the same
Fantastic Four issues? Honestly, I mean, I remember the
but
one
where
he's...
But do you actually read them, or are you just like us, where you're just like by osmosis? Like, we know enough about the Marvel Universe to where we're familiar with this guy existing, and a little bit of his deal, and then that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I know the Cosmic Control Rod, right?
Yeah.
Deal, but,
oh, I forgot about that, even.
Well, that's what he gets around his neck, dude. Yeah. It's kind of hard
what does
miss.
That do?
It's cosmic rod things.
It's a rod. It's got cosmic controlling.
It goes, you come from this.
Does it turn down the what?
No, it does not turn. Oh, it probably could turn down for what? In fact.
But in the later books, they definitely expand on him. He's almost seen kind of like, I'm trying to think. I mean, I guess for you DC people, Darkest Night, the Black Hand, I think was his name. The
oh, one okay, sure, Black Hand.
Black
okay.
Hand. He's kind of like Black Hand. He, in the sense that he has this unforgiving army that follows his will, and they annihilate everything, hence the name, but
and
they annihilate
be
everything.
Insects,
yeah,
the drones
pretty,
at least.
Pretty much drones, yeah. I mean, I think they run off of him. Like, his will, his commands are their will to do whatever he wants. The book, because I've read these, leads up to something that builds up and builds up, builds up. So even to today, it still resonates. All these books, I mean, I'm reading the new Fantastic Four, the Fraction stuff, but the Guardian of the Galaxy still hints back. This is a good jumping point if you're going to go all intergalactic with the Marvel Universe. This is a good jumping point because you're going to, if you read this, everything that afterwards, you'll understand. If you start there, they give you enough flashbacks to understand what happened, but you don't get the full feel of it. Because there's some great moments in these books. I can remember, like I told you, I can't remember every book since y'all are reading them. But I do remember certain parts of the books that were like, wow, that's really cool. Wow, that's really cool.
Well, the important thing is, regardless of how you came into the story, by the end of it, you appreciated Annihilus as a character. And you got his greater sense of who he was.
But much like the Infinity Gauntlet, they have to start doing the sequels, which diminish.
Yeah, don't go there because I don't, not only do I not want to get into spoiler material, but that's something we can expound upon later on.
Trust me, it wouldn't be a spoiler.
Okay.
I'm saving you money and time.
Oh, I'm not going to read anything that I haven't already bought.
Oh, yeah, dumb, man. It's rough. Yeah. So, no, I would like to talk more about this. But like I said, I have to kind of refresh myself because it has been, when did they come out?
2005 or so.
So yeah, so it's been quite a while. So
9 years.
I read them when they first came out. And, of course, like all my other collectors, you know, I'm reading this in probably 9 other books. Mm-hmm. So to keep track of stories. So for this story to stay somewhat fresh in my mind, it had to be pretty good.
Well, again, it's like you didn't have a lot to say about Drax because you didn't remember it. And if your reaction was anything like ours, that's why. You put the stuff. It's funny because there's a lot of complaints about comic fans being negative, fans of any media really that are vocal. But the thing is a lot of times the stuff that was bad, unless it like really offends you in a deep personal way, you just forget about it. It kind of washes off you. And you just love the stuff that you love, and that's the stuff you want to talk about most of the time. And, you know, we've enjoyed some of this. We're being comprehensive, but, you know, we'll toss these Drax aside, and I'm still going to like that character. I'm still looking forward to seeing him in the movie, because whatever bad things they did with him here, hey, I like Riddick, and maybe I'll like Drax, too, in the movie. I'm going to give him a shot.
I think the movie's going to be fantastic.
I'm hoping so.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed. Though I still want to know what character Nathan Fallon?
Of Nathan Fillion? It's supposed to be a tiny little cameo, but I hope... Wouldn't it be great if he were like an analog of Hal Jordan?
Well, no, I was thinking Cosmo the dog, the Russian dog. Oh, wait.
Nick, keep your mouth shut. I only know a little bit about that anyway.
I think that would be kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, he's done a lot of the voice acting for Hal Jordan in like DC animated features. Mm-hmm. And there was a time where he was like a top favorite to be fan cast as that character when they cast Ryan Reynolds a good deal of people were disappointed. So
oh,
for him to show up as a pseudo Hal Jordan off in the side somewhere, that would be key.
I actually rewatched it not too long ago.
Oh, it's a bad movie.
Yeah, yeah. DC has so much to make up for. This Superman Batman movie better be fucking fantastic. Because I rewatched Green Lantern. Because for some reason FX was doing they were doing so much Marvel.
Mm-hmm. They decided to pull back a little bit.
They did a little DC
diversify.
So they did. They showed. They showed Green Lantern, Batman, and I caught Superman, the Man of Steel. Yeah, no.
There's a lot of pushback because I'm an old DC guy. I've gone back to Marvel because I'm so unhappy with where DC has gone in recent years in the comics, but also because of the films. Because we grew up with some terrible superhero movies, And they movies, the superhero movies have made such a quantum leap in the 2000s, and most of those bounds have been with Marvel properties. The only one that has pushed those boundaries at DC is Batman. And those movies seem a little stilted and boring and lame by comparison to a lot of the Marvel stuff. The Marvel stuff is extremely entertaining, and I think it has a much broader appeal. There are people who are into Batman are very deeply into that, but you with Marvel, you can expand to whole new demographics, and I find their appeal is so great, and their stories are so much more appealing and so much less dated. Mm-hmm. They don't feel like these stiff, cardboard, bam, pow, zap, superhero stories. Well, like they're supposed to write superhero stories.
Well, they're not retelling the same story.
Yeah. And Guardians again, of the Galaxy. Yeah, oh,
and again.
Yeah, let's see Batman's origin again. But with the great thing about Guardians of the Galaxy, that is not a superhero movie. That's science fiction. Mm-hmm. That's fucking Star Wars. I hope Star Wars is half as good as the Guardians of the Galaxy looks to be. It just looks like a fun romp that happens to take place in space. It ties in the Marvel continuity, but I would want to see that movie even if it had nothing to do with the Marvel Universe. It just looks like a fun
flick. Yeah, and I think it's a good shot. The only really tie-in is probably going to be a little pop-in at the end after the credits. You know, we'll have the Nick Fury show up, but...
I don't want to spoil anything for you.
So you already know what?
Well, I know something. You probably know the same thing I know. Okay, I don't want to screw it up for Mac over here, so...
No, don't screw it up for Mac.
Yeah.
No spoilers.
For the last time for the next few weeks, we're going to open up our Mighty Marvel mailbag. We'll want to thank Liz Burns for following us on Google+, Keith G. Baker, and Tiny Arcanist for liking us on Tumblr. New Twitter followers include Mark Westcott and Marvel World. We received favorites and retweets from Adam Osland, Ange, Archambaud Felipe, BCX Radio, Celestine Bedell, Count Druncula, Crow Rebel, David Golding Artist, Eel Perrin, Eternal Rage, Firestorm Fan, IG at @perfectly_Kessev, Infinity Watcher, Legion Bloggers, Listbirds, Longbox Graveyard, Mythmaking Etc., Professor Riptide, Sam Lowe, Sean McLaughlin, Silver Age Sensations, and Zomblicity. Twitter comments, Eternal Rage said that it was sweet that we finally got on iTunes. New listener Guano Man said, impeccable timing. He had just finished listening to our Guardians of the Galaxy and Namor cast, said it was good stuff. Sean McLaughlin sent us a picture of first appearance of the Guardians of the Galaxy from Marvel Super Heroes, number 18, back from late 1960s, I believe, 68, 69. That art's actually on the blog, so you can take a look at that. Siskoid noted on the Guardians of the Galaxy podcast blog commentary, I'm afraid what I think of Jim Starlin today would color my opinion, and then put in brackets, the internet ate my rant under your Warlock podcast. I'd actually be really interested to see if he's rallied since then and would like to talk about his feelings about Starlin. As a Jim Starlin fan, I have my own issues with his later work. We're not going to be doing a Cosmic Guard podcast anytime soon is what I'm saying. Siskoid also said, I will always try to set people against one another in meaningless competitions. If you listen to Hero Points, that would be the Hero Points podcast, which he co-hosts with the Irredeemable Shag, you'll see I fake compete with the absent Rob Kelly, Shag's co-host on Fire and Water podcast, which Hero Points is a spinoff from. He continues, it's just something I do to send up the idea that anyone should compete with anyone other than themselves, a philosophy at the core of my existence. Count Druncula tweeted, any hint as to the subject of this week's podcast? Well, you're currently listening to the Annihilation Prologue, and next week we're going to follow that up with Annihilation Silver Surfer. It's a really dense episode, and I wanted to kind of keep them close together to keep it fresh in people's minds. Count saying, I'm telling you, a little Heroes Reborn episode would never be called boring. He's referring to last week's episode, which was so boring that it literally helped my girlfriend to go to sleep twice. But as far as the Heroes Reborn thing, he's got hashtag Count's agenda. I have no misgivings about checking out the Heroes Reborn stuff. It's Illegal Machine that's putting the brakes on that. As far as episode Dolo 5, Guardians of the Galaxy, experienced it in IMAX 3D. The little list we did in that episode triggered an avalanche of lists from other people, including Count Druncula. Very long, very great to read. Enjoyed those very much. You can check those out. My responses to Count Druncula specifically are on our WordPress blog, but there are more lists on the Blogger blog as well. And also we did a back and forth related to movies in general. It's pretty cool. On last week's podcast, Count Druncula noted, boy, I really thought you'd skipped most of my comments on the Namor show, but clearly I'm mistaken. The whole audio flashback with the harp transition couldn't possibly be fake, so I guess I jumped to the wrong conclusion. My bad, fellas. He also asked us to bring on the Red Wolf podcast. He disparaged Pulp Fiction, one of the best movies of all time, which will not get him on my or Illegal Machine's good sides. And he was pushing for a Hawkeye episode, as was Listbirds. It's inevitable, and sooner rather than later. Ange had a great movie list of his own. He left us hanging, though. He never told us whether or not he'd seen Guardians of the Galaxy or gave us an opinion, so I'm looking forward to hearing about him on that and seeing where Guardians would queue up on his list. He also said of the Guardians of the Galaxy episode that from a podcast point of view, this was a joy as it reminded me of conversations in my group of friends where we argue endlessly about things like who would beat who in the comic book fight. I think that the Guardians has been our best episode to date. It was great fun to participate in that. I want more of the episodes to have that feel and be exciting like that. It sucks when it's just me talking, droning on. It's a lot more fun when all three of us are just kind of going at something. I also want to do a lot more movie podcasts. It's just a matter of the time, getting everybody together in the same place at the same time to spend 2 hours watching a movie in anticipation of doing a podcast afterward. Siskoid noted on the same episode, there's the Frank I know from Fire and Water comments section. Love your takedown of Guardians, even if I'm on the other of the other guy's opinion. As for Marvel movies, turning people into bankable stars, what about Scarlett Johansson? She was known before, obviously, but since Avengers, she's in everything, especially genre movies. It certainly made her a viable action star. Hashtag Frank's Agenda, which is something that Siskoid got started and the Illegal Machine behind the scenes has run with. I do have an agenda, and we actually have a hashtag Frank's Agenda episode coming up. I have found a Marvel superheroine that I wanted to spend a lot of time with and got very excited about once I started researching her, and I bet you're never going to guess who it is, and I'm not going to tell you. Lizbird said of the Drax podcast, I admire your honesty about this book. It makes me wish you could honestly review some less than stellar DC books. I do want to do some DC podcasting, but the thing of it is, there's so much cool Marvel and independent stuff that we're, you know, me and Illegal Machine and Mr. Fixit are excited about, that it's just easier to get us all on the same page with that material. With DC, I'm really the only DC guy in our circles. Lizbird's joined in on our WordPress conversations on that blog. She's got a great icon of Captain America. Ange also expressed his affection for the Captain America movie. Easy way to get on my good side, for sure. She said, good job, guys, tackling the prehistory of Marvel via the pulps. She's referring to the Kazar episode. I'm glad she liked it, at least. That we got very few comments on that, and I pretty much knew when I was unleashing it that it was going to be a beast that most would just presume to avoid. Pulps are something I wish I could investigate more, but are just too outdated, except maybe The Shadow. What I take away from pulp stories is the impact of serialization on how readers consume stories. I've been waiting for modern-day fiction to adopt the serialization model, but it hasn't happened yet. I'd wondered where Liss had been exposed to Ron Lim art. As it turned out, it was the Rand Thanagar War Holy War miniseries, and she posted the cover, which I've got up on the blog. You can take a look at that. She also asked if we'd seen how the Batman vs. Superman SDCC teaser should have ended. It's a cute little cartoon, involved Wonder Woman as well, and we did a little back and forth where you could kind of do a pseudo Seinfeld with those three characters. The Marvel Superheroes podcast is in no way affiliated or endorsed by Marvel Entertainment. All characters mentioned and audio clips employed are believed covered under fair use, but remain copyright their respective copyright holders. But of course, the views expressed are wholly owned by the people who spoke them. No infringement is intended.
The following program has adult language and tons of spoilers and shit, so listeners beware.
Can you not curse in the fucking goodbye?
Oh, did I curse?
Yes, you said it. Oh,
okay. Start all over, dude. Okay. The following... Oh, shit, now you got me confused. Hold on. The following program has tons of adult language and probably a lot of spoilers. Listener, beware.
Yeah, do it better.
Fuck, dude, I'm not a trained monkey. The following program contains adult language and a lot of shit... Oh, I was going to...
Hey, the following program contains mature language and spoilers. Your discretion is advised. Just say that.
Okay. Following program has adult language and potential spoilers. Listener, beware.
It's okay. That's less than bad. Definitely less bad. If you could have better, that'd be good, but that was definitely less bad.
The following program has adult language and potentially tons and tons of spoilers. Listener, beware.
See, editing isn't working.
Yeah, don't
add. I don't want it to sound like that, dude. I hate to wait.
Dude, do it like if you're watching The Shield.
If I'm watching The Shield.
Yeah. You like The Shield, right?
The Shield Michael Chiklis show?
Yeah, Michael Chiklis TV show.
Okay.
You're doing your movie voice.
I don't have a movie voice. See, that's you, dude. That's kind of the creepy thing, though. It's kind of funny, yeah. It's kind of creepy. Following program has adult language and potential spoilers. Listener, be advised.
Okay.
Oh my god, dude.
You need a better, I think,
I don't say mature language, dude. That's... Dude, you just told me not to ad-lib. That sounds like ad-libbing. I say adult. This is adult language. All the kids out of the pool.
It'll make you be better than you do that.
Following program has adult language and plenty of spoilers. Listener, be advised.
Yeah, that's okay.
Can you say it
better, though?
Oh, fucking asshole. That's great. Now do it better. For the love of Christ, the following programs has adult language. He won't stop, Lord Jesus. There is potential spoilers. Why won't he stop? Oh, God, please beware.
That's a stinger.
Fucking asshole.
That's a stinger.
Dude, you seriously have stressed me out over this fucking thing. Oh.
I realized that happened that way. You just make me a stinger.
Oh, dude, you're such a dick, dude.
What did that sound like?